Welcome to this week's Leader's Guide for the Fall Quarter of Life Groups. This resource is provided to help you prepare and effectively lead your group. For your convenience, you can also download a written version of this guide under Leader Tools at northcoastchurch.com/groups. So let's join Pastor Dave Enns now as he introduces this week's material.
Greetings, leaders, and welcome to week number 5 of Life Groups. Yes, we are now at the halfway point, and so hope all is flowing and going well. And again, if you have any questions or issues dealing with a dominator, overtalker, whatever it is, please do not hesitate to contact your Life Group pastor, and we are here to help you out. We want you to have whatever support you need to be able to deal with whatever is going on with your group. And of course, if you've got some great stories of what's going on, please let us know about that. We love to hear those. You can put that in your comments when you submit your attendance, and or give us a call, leave somebody a voicemail. Again, we love to hear how God's working. And also, on October 28th, Friday night, and Saturday morning, the 29th, is the North Coast Men's Conference, the second one we're having. And this is a key way to get your guys connected at what I would call a new level or even different level that goes beyond life groups. It is going to be a total blast. We'll be offering all kinds of activities for anything that you want to get involved in. Cornhole, a pitching cage, pickleball, disc golf, axe throwing, to name just a few. Also, Friday night dinner barbecue, you want to be for that, and then a breakfast that morning. And we'll also be raising money once again for the Women's Resource Center in Oceanside with great raffle prizes, big screen TV, indoor skydiving, just to mention a few. It's been awesome to see what's going on with that. And if you have something of high value you want to donate for that auction, let us know. We'll see if it fits. But we'd love to get one or two more key things to add to our list. And finally, Pastor Ricky Jenkins is going to be our guest speaker, and along with Chris Brown, they're going to team up. They're good friends, so even watching them interact together is going to be a highlight. But you will come away encouraged, men, in how God believes in you, who you are in His eyes. Because so often as men, we beat ourselves up, and we're just like, hey, what is this all about? I guarantee you will be encouraged. You can bring, this is what we would call a PG-13 event. So kids can come from 13 and above. You get a discount if you bring your sons, and that's an option there. Also, bring neighbors, whoever. Again, we really believe you will not be disappointed by being there. So check that out. So that's what's coming up. Then other just quick reminders. Remember, a goal is not to go through all the questions, but to focus in on what questions fit best for your group. Make sure you are touching base also, taking prayer requests, seeing how everybody's going. And if you haven't divided up into men only, women only lately, make sure you do that. That also brings another level of sharing in your group. Hey, with that said, I'm now going to turn it over to Philip Byers, and he's going to take us through this week's Homework Helps. Here's Philip.
Hey, Life Group leaders and hosts, Philip here. Dave, thanks so much for the intro. Man, what a great message from Pastor Chris Brown. And when I think about that message to set up all of our homework this week, here's the thing that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how important God's reputation is, but it's how we live and how we live from a character and an integrity perspective when we are living out being the priest, the kingdom of priest, and the temple for the Holy Spirit, just like Chris mentioned. When we live that out, see, it's our reputation that really stands and gets a glimpse into God's real reputation. And so people see God through how we act and how we live. So that's what we're going to camp today in the whole homework. So let's take a look at these My Story questions. And again, I wrote these questions so that the first My Story question goes well with the first Digging Deeper question, and the second My Story goes with the second Digging Deeper. So you'll see how those tie together. They're designed to set you up. Again, you can use them whatever order you want. But this first one says, from the passage this weekend, we learned about the importance of God's reputation to the world. When it comes to your own reputation, as you think toward the end of your life, is there a newspaper headline or even a phrase at your memorial service that you would want to represent your reputation? So this question is designed to get into, how do you want to be known? How do you want others to know you? So whether that's a newspaper heading, depending on your stage of life, it could be a Twitter post. It could be a TikTok video. It could be, whatever it is that's engaged with you. It's just like, how do you want to be represented? How do you want others to see who you are? And so just getting to start that conversation. I've had a question like this in my groups before. Lots of fun. We even had a variation of it where we talked about if there was a statue or a monument built for you after your life, what would it be? So lots of variations there. You can kind of tweak that, adjust that, but it's just a fun question to get everybody talking about what they really want to be known for in their life. Question two on the My Story section. This weekend, we learned about the importance of how we live and its impact on the world around us. As you reflect on your childhood, what was your experience of Christians you interacted with? And how did this interaction impacts your view of God and or the church? So see, the first My Story question is future focused. This one is past focused. So how were your interactions with people that follow Jesus? And what was God's reputation based on what you saw growing up? And so this is one of those ones, I think if I ask this question in my group, I'm going to say, hey, by the way, this is not a throw somebody under the bus. And so if somebody really frustrates you, please don't use a name. But just what was your interpretation, your reflection? I know for me, it was hard. I didn't have a great experience, and it was hard for me to have Christian friends. And so that was a struggle for me to see what God was really like. And it wasn't until my 20s and my first small group experience that I really got a chance to see those Christian friendships. So that impacted my faith, and it was hard for me to trust God. So that would be kind of how I would answer that. But again, there's going to get lots of variations in there. So again, one's past related, one's future focused. Again, you can choose which one of those go in. So now you're in week five of your groups this quarter. So this should be a little bit more vulnerable of a conversation. And so when you get to more vulnerable questions, sometimes maybe just going first as a leader is a helpful thing, because the speed of the leader is the speed of the team or the speed of the group. And so as you go, as you share, your group will follow. So use these My Story questions to get in some habits of sharing. And those My Story questions also, I love to hear from everyone in those, because it's almost, think of it like a warm-up. If you were going to go for a run, you would need a little stretch. You would need a little jog before you went for that run. You wouldn't just dive into it. And these My Story questions help people begin to kind of get a softball share, so that then you can kind of build on that. You can scaffold that into some great conversation later on. So there's your My Story questions. Here we go. We're heading to digging deeper. Question one. This weekend, when we saw the consequences of Saul's disobedience towards the Gibeonites by not honoring the covenant of protection made by Joshua, as followers of Jesus, how we live and love those around us greatly impacts their view of who God is. Read 1 Peter 2, 9 through 16, and notice the importance God puts on our Christian reputation and how he wants us to interact with those who don't yet know him. Again, I love this passage. I felt like it fit really nicely with Chris's sermon. The first part, 9 and 10, are talking about that we're a chosen people, that we've received mercy, and yet we used to live in darkness, and now we live in the light. And then it goes into the next couple of verses where it just says, hey, as you live with around foreigners, exiles, Gentiles, again, those people that are not or pagans, those people that are not Jesus followers is what they're referring to there. Live in such a way that your goodness shows through, that they can't accuse you as wrong, and that your deeds glorify God. That's important. We want to camp there, because it's like, this is about how we are influencing those who don't yet follow Jesus. And so then he goes through and just talks about to submit ourselves to authority and to live as free people. And so again, I think great passage there, lots to go. I put a commentary link in there. And there's an extra verse, Matthew 5, 13 to 16, that Sermon on the Mount, that city on a hill, that's salt and light. So again, another great kind of similar passage about how we influence others outside the faith. So that follow-up question says, when you think about your workplace, your family, your hobbies, your friend circles, your neighborhood, that's a sidebar, that's a little long there, but that's just trying to figure out those areas that we influence others. Make a list of some things that are accepted by culture but go against God's desire for how we live. So some of the examples I put in here were like, maybe it's a win at all cost mentality, whether you're coaching a sports team, whether you're at work, it's how we use our words, it's alcohol overuse, it's turning a blind eye, etc. So there's lots of things in here that maybe is acceptable by culture, but God would say, hey, that's not what I'm calling to. So There's things you can do here. There's some variations I put, like as a veteran group, you may just focus in on one thing. Maybe you are leading a young family group and you go, hey, let's talk about sports teams, because maybe that's a prevalent thing in your conversation with your group. Maybe you're a young adult or a Jordan group and you want to hone in on like friend circles or classmates. So again, depending on where you're at, your stage of life, you may just go, man, we talk a lot about influence our neighbors, or we talk a lot about our workplace, whatever it is. Those things, you just hone in on the area if you want. So it doesn't have to be as broad, but you can pick one. And also, too, you could facilitate in a way, instead of just having them share those things, you could go, hey, let's make a list together as a group. That's kind of one of my favorite tactics. It makes it a little easier to share, and then it's almost a little bit more of a rapid fire. And so you kind of create a master list, whether you actually write that down or not. The point is just kind of letting them get some stuff out. It helps, makes it a little bit easier, and you get some more vulnerable discussion. So then a follow-up to that is, as you look at this list, okay, so the things you just discussed, the things you just made list-wise, what things are easy for you to go against culture on? Is there any one that may be more of a challenge for you? So now we're taking the list, and now we're looking at it through the lens of like, hey, what about for you? Which one of these is a challenge for you? And which one may be easy? So you're getting an easy, you're getting a challenge. It kind of gives you both ends of the spectrum, and people can go around and share. And then the follow-up question to that would be, for the item that you may struggle with, what are some ways that we can overcome the struggle temptation? So again, now it's like, okay, hey, this one sounded like one that our group struggles with. How would we combat that temptation? What are some things you do? And I love these kind of questions, because what we're doing is we're hearing from our whole group. And when I do this in my group, I usually ask questions. I usually will tell my group, hey, this is not bragging. Tell us the things that are good, that are helpful. We do good things that are helpful in this. And sometimes you sharing something that's helpful to you might be something that I haven't really thought of or I haven't tried before. And so this is kind of a sharing of best practices. It's not a bragging session. It's a coming together. And so sometimes just those little comments give people permission to share, who maybe wouldn't, because they feel like, I don't want to brag, or I don't want to seem like I'm perfect. And so those kind of things are helpful. And when you can hear others of how others maybe combat some of those temptations, somebody else might go, man, I'm going to try that. And so even after that, you may go, hey, is there, this could be a good follow-up question. I was like, hey, is there something that maybe you want to lean into and maybe try based on what you heard from somebody else? So again, this is the power of shared learning in a group. So I have a couple additional questions there. You could take a look at those in the leader guide. I'm not going to read all of those, but there are some additional ones when it comes to commitment and oath, or even what it means to live as free people. So several there. Take a look at that if that interests you. All right, taking a look at digging deeper too. Again, this one's in the same, we're headed in the same direction as the first one, but this one is a little bit different because the passage we're going to use is going to hit a little bit more of like, how do we live in such a way that God's reputation is positive to the world? So here you go. Listen to this. Question two says, Chris taught this weekend that as Christ followers, we are now the kingdom of priests in the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of right out of his message, by the way. As we heard often in the series, the Psalms are the soundtrack to the biblical story that we've been studying. Read what David wrote in Psalm 15 about the character we are to represent to the world. Take note of how we are to live out the five areas of our lives below. So this passage here is fun because David wrote the Psalms. So it's another one of those kind of cool tie-ins. One of my favorite things of the series is to see the Psalms side by side. So that's kind of what this is designed to do. So Psalm 15 is a five-verse psalm that David wrote. And then right next to it on your paper, you're going to see you have the psalm. And then to the right of it's going to say areas of our lives. And it's got five areas. It's got our integrity, our words, our attitude towards others, our commitments, our finances, and business practices. So these actually just correspond. And you'll, as you read those, you'll see that that's what each of those verses are talking about. So of those five areas, we're going to take a look at, and we're going to kind of rate ourselves in that. So again, there's a commentary link in there, some more information as well. So the follow-up question says, based on the five areas above, how would you evaluate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5? 5 being an area of strength, 1 being an opportunity for growth. And so that's where I'm just like really going through and going, okay, based on my integrity, okay? And in the passage, it says that we're to walk blameless and do what is righteous. And so how am I doing in that? How to reflect on that? My words, do I slander? Do I speak truth from the heart? Again, just rating myself in that. And that's obviously subjective, but again, for each person, just to self-reflect that. And so there's just great conversation there. It doesn't say share why or anything like that. But as a group, may go, I would just have them go, hey, how was it ranking yourself in this? Was that an easy process? Was it hard? What'd you learn from that? Did you have any ahas or reflections? Any of those little taglines of questions really help you kind of pull out Great discussion. Having people share, well, what did you rate yourself really high in? What did you feel like was an opportunity? Again, all of those different things. You may make observations and go, man, a lot of our group struggles with attitude towards others. Then camp there a little bit. Why is it, do you think, that we do that? So you can ask some great follow-up questions based on how your group answers. Next sub question on the notes is, can you think of someone who, by their actions, has positively lived out one of the areas above in such a way that had an impact on your faith? If yes, how so? So this is just going, okay, not for all five of these, because very few superhumans or super Christians that can live these out. But superhuman, that's fun. Watching too many hero stories with my boys. Sorry, squirrel. Okay, this is another one of my favorite tactics when discussing is if we can think about somebody else that's lived this well, it's one of those, like, it's easier to brag on somebody else. And so we can just, it's taking a different vantage point, looking out, hey, who can we learn from? What can we learn from? And so just, it's one of those things. We go, man, my grandpa did this so well, and here's how he lived that out. And so it's a great way, kind of like in the first one we talked about, kind of getting your group to brag and talk about positive things, because when we hear positive things others have done, it's easy for us to learn. Again, this is the power of group. This is what it means to be able to have these great friendships centered on God's word. We learn from each other in it. So again, lots of passion there. I could share that for a long time, but that's a great place to be able to kind of like pull out from your group. I also have some additional questions in here as well. Some of them kind of lean more into some of the direct verses. So some of them ask you about some of the heroes in your life and whether they're godly or godless. That's directly from verse 4. You could look at directly from verse 2. The next question talks about walking blameless. And then, so those additional questions are in there. Again, I'm not going to read all of those to you, but they're there in the leader guide. And there's another three or four questions. So I've given you lots of extras. Feel free to look at those if you want to go kind of different angles, because this is a great passage and there's some great things to pull out here. And so really try to give you some great application questions to discuss in your group. So with that being said, I'm going to transition to the taking it home. And this one's a little bit different than your kind of typical taking it home. I think this is a great opportunity this week. I feel like as I'm going to hear this message, I'm walking through it and going like, man, maybe there is somebody in my workplace, there is somebody in my neighborhood or on that sports team I coach or in my classroom, whatever it is, then the areas that I'm in, my guess is each and every one of us have somebody that God's put in our life that he's asking us to influence, to show our character and integrity so that it reflects in such a way that people go, man, that person lives different. And that's a huge thing. And that's a reflection on God. So this question from Taking Home, here's how I would do it. I would go, hey, today in our prayer time, I want you to do two things. I want you to give us a way that we can pray for you. And then I want you to answer this question as well. In our group, a lot of times we'll do note cards. Everybody has a note card and they write these things down, and then we can swap them with somebody else in the group. Guys with guys, girls with girls. Again, just another little tactic we do in our group often. So here's the question. Can you think of someone God has placed in your life on whom you can have a positive impact for Christ? So this is just kind of a culmination of what we've been talking about and going, okay, we've talked about this. Who's in your circle that you can influence? So this just kind of calls people to action a little bit more. And sometimes when they say it in such a way of prayer as a leader, I can follow up with Joe in my group because he said he wants to influence Tommy in his workplace. That may be a great text or phone call in the next couple of days. That may be a great place to start the following week is go, hey, we all prayed for these. How did it go this week? Did anybody have any good conversations? Because here's what I know in my life. When I am praying specifically for opportunities to reflect God and I'm aware of them, oftentimes God shows up with opportunities. So again, great tools, great tips, ways to be able to dive in. And you're heading into week five of your groups. You're probably starting to see a little bit more vulnerability. That's just a great relational pattern in groups. So again, I believe in you guys. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. There's a men's conference coming up in the next couple weeks. Guys, sign up for that. Use that for the guys in your groups. We're here from you. If you got any questions, you have an emergency, something comes up, you have your pastor's cell phone number. Call them, text them. We are here for you. Thanks so much for what you're doing. We believe in you guys. Have a great week.